Blog Talk Radio.
Era notte a Târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că nu a fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stăm și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars.
După mine și aici.
So I thought they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină.
But it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit.
The light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde să plec.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va.
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai dus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you?
Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And then one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and we are so close to live, we might as well be live. It is June the 20th, 2019. We are recording this, but only a couple hours before the program is due to air, because that way I can go home and be with my kids. So all the news of the day will be covered because, like I said, we are so close to live, we might as well be live. Anyway, it's been an eventful week, has it not? Donald Trump has confirmed that he will run for re-election in 2020. All the news outlets in the United States of America are trying to pretend as though the rally wasn't the size that it was. They're trying not to cover that at all because they realize that something is off with their polling. The optics of this thing is just ridiculous. You have Joe Biden, you know, talking to a group of 12 people, including his staff. And you have Donald Trump overflowing an arena that sat, 25,000, and there were requests for 100,000 people to come and attend. And it wasn't as though they were handing out free cookies and ice cream. It wasn't as though everybody was getting a free Donald Trump hat or everybody was getting, $500 gift certificates to Walmart. People actually stood in line 40 hours in advance, in Florida, mind you. We're not talking about, mild weather. It was brutally hot, brutally humid, then it thunderstormed. And through it all, people stood there because whether you love them or hate them, there is a very sizable component of this nation that does love this president. And the other side can't wrap their minds around it. So they're trying to minimize and mitigate his influence. They're trying to minimize and mitigate his impact. They're trying to minimize and mitigate even his crowd sizes. It's getting so childish. It's buffoonery at its best, and it shows in the fact that the viewership of these news channels is sinking faster than the Titanic after it hit an iceberg. It's fun to watch the desperation on these people's faces because they beat the dead Russian horse for 2 years. The thing was dust. There wasn't even a hip bone left, and they still beat at it until people started getting a clue that, hey, you know, the Mueller report came out and there was nothing. The Senate inquiry found nothing. Congressional inquiry found nothing. Maybe there was nothing to be found. Maybe this guy just loves his country and wants the best for it and decided, hey, what this country needs is me as president. Now, there have been days when I've been impressed, to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't think he could hack it. I didn't think he could do the job, and yet I was proven wrong time and again. So I'm very happy to be proven wrong in this situation. Now, the second biggest story of the week, next to Donald Trump announcing that he was going to run for re-election of President of these United States in 2020, is the fact that the Iranians are getting itchy trigger fingers. And this could blow up 10 ways from Sunday, because right now, as it stands, even the Russians have gotten into the mix, warning the Americans not to be too hasty, not to overreact, because what happened, and we're going to get into it, because, you know, international affairs matter. I understand that this is Homosexual Pride Month, and we should be talking about all things homosexual all the time. But you know what? I'm sorry. There's no continuity of species with it. It will die off. This is, again, I get distracted. This is why they're trying to get the kids. This is why they're trying to push acceptance and validation of this monstrous aberration, this just... I read it this morning, and I have two daughters. One's 5 and one's 2. And now I can't let them watch cartoons when they get older, because apparently My Little Pony has gotten in on the homosexual act and has featured, apparently for the first time ever, same-sex pony couples. I know. You don't care if you don't have kids. But I do, because if it starts here, then it's going to metastasize. It's going to spread. It's a cancer. You have trannies or transsexuals, so that I don't get labeled as a misgenderer or as a, what is it, transphobe or some ridiculous thing, reading storytime books to toddlers. You have elementary school and kindergarten school teachers taking it as their own responsibility to tell children that there's no such things as boys and girls. And there's kids coming home crying, saying, my teacher said there's no such thing as boy and girl. I'm a girl, aren't I, mama? I mean, you know what? If somebody did that to one of my daughters, and one of my daughters came home and told me that happened, there might be a very real possibility of a need for a restraining order. Because trying to confuse, indoctrinate, and propagandize a 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old is beyond dastardly. It's beyond grotesque. Anybody who attempts that needs to be beaten within an inch of their life, especially if they're trusted with educating children. But was it in Connecticut, a church, had transsexual story time, because, you know, churches are inclusive and all embracing, and we have to show people how loving we are. Understand that this is a disease. It's a sin that grows when you identify when your entire life revolves around the fact that you have anal intercourse with another man, when this is the one thing in your life that you are proud of to the point that you'll march down the street in leather chaps and a leather hat, then you are diseased. The sin has rotted your mind. There is no humanity there. That's as simple as I can put it. There should be 1,000 things that you should be proud of before you're proud of the fact that, you know. And yet, no, because it becomes an identity. It becomes so all-consuming that there's nothing left in life. It burns everything away. And all that's left is that identity of homosexual. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to join in and celebrate it when God calls it an abomination. I'm not going to join in and celebrate it when God calls it a sin. And the fact that churches are opening their doors to this nonsense, trying to indoctrinate children, is beyond me. Stop calling yourself a church. And where are the sheep? That's another question. How docile and just put to sleep do you have to be as a church-going individual to see that your kid is going to story time with Tranny Steve, who thinks his name is, I don't know, Tranny Svetlana, and not say anything about it? Not go and grab your gender-fluid preacher by the nose ring and drag him out of the church? Again, we come back to this. If you want to say that judgment is undeserved, then you're not looking at the situation objectively. If you want to say that judgment is undeserved, then you're still looking at this nation through eyes of, you know, patriotism, I guess. Because the reality is dark and sinister. The reality is sad and grotesque. Look, I just read an article. We're going to get back to Iran trying to peck a fight. It's not going anywhere. It's basically the decision's going to be this. Either the Iranians are going to see the folly of their ways and blame one guy for pushing a button, which they'll probably hang in a town square, or they're going to try to, you know, flex their muscle and see if there's any testosterone left, and Donald Trump will likely blanket bomb a portion of Iran. So it shouldn't be a protracted war unless the war hawks decide to go a different route. But we're going to get into it. It's important. It's one of the signs of the times. And the fact that the Russians are already warning the Americans not to overreact and not to escalate is kind of troubling. But in case you needed more, because we're still in that stage. I get a lot of correspondence from people. Do you really think it's that bad? I mean, have we really reached Sodom and Gomorrah proportions? You know, do you really think? Look, in Soldotna, Alaska, of all places. We're not California, not Oregon, not, I don't know, Seattle, Washington. Soldotna, Alaska. A satanic temple member who won the right to open a regional Alaska government meeting declared "Hail Satan" during her first invocation, prompting about a dozen officials and attendees to walk out. This is what we've come to. In Alaska, a confused young woman who needs to be beaten and put to work rather than to suckle at the teat of government and experiment with Satanism decided that she would open a regional Alaska government meeting declaring "Hail Satan." So a dozen officials and attendees walked out. Tuesday's invocation that started the meeting of the Kenai Peninsula Borough also spurred a protest outside the Southern Alaska Borough's administration building that drew 40 people. Protesters held signs saying, "Reject Satan and his works and know Jesus and his love. Amen." And again, if there's a bright spot, if there's a silver lining, it's the fact that there are still people out there that are willing to put themselves, I wouldn't say in harm's way, because, you know, have you ever been punched by a limp wrist? It doesn't hurt that much. But who go out there and who put themselves in a position where they'll be mocked and ridiculed, who still stand up for truth? There's still people out there who are willing to say, hey, this is insane. It's wrong. Even objectively speaking, it's wrong. Because we're not talking about atheists. We're not talking about the, you know, well, there is no superior power. There is no God. There is no devil. There's just you and me in our meat suits, and the worms shall eat us whole. Have you ever had lunch with an atheist? Oh, it'll make you want to poke yourself in the eye with a fork. The saddest people on the planet. But see, this wasn't an atheist. This was actually a Satanist. This is a full-blown Satanist that was allowed to come up and give an invocation. Because nobody in Alaska apparently put two and two together and realized, hey, if a Satanist comes up here, they're probably going to try to paint Satan in a good light. Maybe we should say nay. You can still say no to stupid things, for now, at least, in this country. I don't know for how much longer, but for now, you can still say no. I understand the up-and-coming generation is spoiled out of their minds. Nobody's ever said no to them. And if somebody does, they have an aneurysm and go off in a corner and suck their thumb. But that's not my problem. Somebody should be wise enough to say no. So Iris Fontana is her name. And during her invocation, she said, "That which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by truth should never be spared as demise. It is done, hail Satan." So basically she's retarded. That's what it boils down to. Because what she's saying in a veiled way is that if Christians won't embrace Satanism now, which, you know what, I'm not putting it past the church to say, we're supposed to be inclusive and loving. We're supposed to embrace everybody. Because if you're allowing Tranny Steve to come read stories to your kids, if you're waving rainbow flags from church spires, then you know what? Blending, as Iris would call it, with the satanic temple isn't that much of a stretch. But when he returns, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? I'm back to that again this week. Now, Iris, apparently, had enough free time, inclination to sue the Alaska, and of course the ACLU, which, don't get me started. Look, we've allowed cancers to metastasize in this country, and now they're threatening the vital organs. Do you understand this? We've been so la-di-da about it that they've metastasized, and now they are threatening vital function. They want to kill it. This experiment called America, they want to destroy it, and we've allowed them to grow and metastasize. Iris was among the plaintiffs in the lawsuit litigated by the ACLU of Alaska against the borough after it approved the 2016 policy saying that people who wanted to give the invocations at the government body's meeting had to belong to official organizations with an established presence on the Kenai Peninsula, which lies 75 miles south of Anchorage. So if a tsunami wipes away Kenai Peninsula, it was Iris's fault. I jest in part, because there's only so much God can take. There's only so much God will allow before the cup of his wrath pours out. Other plaintiffs who had been denied permission to give the invocations included an atheist and a Jewish woman. But hey, we made room for the Satanist so that she could, you know, threaten Christians by saying, if you don't bend, we are going to break you. So that was the news from Alaska. Again, not California, not Seattle, Alaska. So you sit there with a straight face and say, no, that whole talk of judgment, brother, it is undeserved. No, America shall rise like an eagle upon wings of righteousness, and its glory shall be seen afar. Really? Where is it? How much worse can it get before it could rebound to better? Let's ask that. Again, do I need to go through the whole laundry list? Rainbow flags on church spires, lesbian pastors, gender fluid pastors, trannies reading stories to kids in churches, Satanists giving opening prayers hailing Satans in Alaska, abortion on demand being fought for as though we were fighting for life. Do I need to go on? So stop with whoever wrote a book about America soaring like an eagle and oh, the glory! The glory shall be seen and we shall rise like the phoenix. Well, you know what? Phoenix, is it phoenixes or phoenixi? Either one. You know what phoenixes rise out of? Ash. The phoenix rises from the ashes. Ashes assume that there has been fire. Fire assumes that all is not going to be well. So before we use metaphors like a phoenix rising from the ashes, let's agree, shall we, that first there have to be ashes. So I know it's instinctual in all of us to try to circumvent the notion of judgment. And we cling to any individual who gives us a shred of hope that God changed his mind and judgment is incoming. Because I've been getting your emails. I answered the first three. After that, I'm like, it's the same thing over and over again. I'm not going to cut and paste because I'm not that kind of guy. But if you want to believe that America shall rise with glory in her wings, then be my guest. I can't stop you from believing what you want to believe. But if everything you're seeing with your eyes contradicts that which you believe, then perhaps you should question what you believe. Or take a fork and poke out your own eyes so that you don't have that contradiction existing in your skull every single day. We're not headed in the right direction. We're not on the right course. We are not headed for righteousness and holiness shall enshroud the wings of the eagle. So stop. Do what you can to compel people to repentance. Stand out there while a Satanist is hailing Satan with a sign, Satan is a liar, Jesus is Lord, something, anything. But stop getting numbed to the reality of what we're living simply because somebody wrote a book praising America's future. And again, just because it's so ironically funny, and I'm sure some of you are sitting there scratching your heads, phoenixes rise from ashes. first there must be ashes. Now, even that is a flawed hypothesis, because once there are ashes, there will be nothing of the phoenix to rise. So, but that's another story for another time. I don't want to bum you out completely tonight, because we might be going to war with Iran tomorrow. So what happened with Iran? Well, let's see. They basically shot down a surveillance drone, and by all accounts, unless, and I know I'm going to see it somewhere, this was a false flag. Unless it was shot on or over in Iranian airspace, they'd have just cause to a certain extent, but everybody's saying it was international waters or it wasn't Iranian airspace. So the story is thusly, and it's coming from the AP, because only the best will do. So the Associated Press itself writes this: Iran's Revolutionary Guard shot down a U.S. surveillance drone Thursday in the Strait of Hormuz. Yes, I'm going to say all Middle Eastern names with an accent so I sound more intelligent. Sort of like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Oh, we're going to get to that brain trust tonight. That was ridiculously hilarious. And again, as an aside, because I've been known to be a step or five ahead of people, I did an interview with Mike from Hear the Watchman. It was maybe 3-4 months ago, and we started talking about the aforementioned Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And I said if she weren't so retarded, or at least as close to functionally retarded as you can get without being diagnosed, she would be dangerous. Well, this week, she proved that I was right once again. Because she is equating us taking refugees and putting them in places where they get shelter and water to the camps in which 6 million or so Jews died violently, in which countless souls starved to the point of emaciation. And she is accusing the U.S. government of running concentration camps. So I was right. Again, if she was halfway smart, she'd be dangerous, because she would be a younger version of Bernie Sanders. And, you know, Bernie's craziness turns off a lot of people. But they still like the notion of free stuff. I mean, if Bernie wasn't talking free stuff, he'd be in a padded room right now. People would look at Bernie and go, that crazy guy with the ketchup on his shirt, what's he rambling on about? But see, it's the selfishness of human nature that goes, oh, he said free. Let's listen to the old crazy man. What is he saying about free? Free college, and free healthcare, and free housing, and free money. How do we get all these things? Oh, by voting Bernie. Yeah, that should wake you up in a cold sweat. President Bernard Sanders. But hey, everything will be free. Technically, because, you know, you'll be taxed at 90%. But hey, it's still free, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod. All right, back to Iran shoots down surveillance drone because, it is. It's important. Because this could turn bad very quickly. There's very little risk of it coming to our shores except for the odd jihadi, as George Bush used to call them. One jihadi, two jihadis. And if they happen to start detonating themselves in U.S. cities, I would wager that they crossed some southern border at some time in the last 2 years. Blame who you will. I'm not telling you what to do, because it's not my job to tell you what to do. My job is to tell you what is happening. So I'm not telling you who to blame, but, you know, border could have been sealed a long time ago if not for the politicking. Speaking of which, Fat Jerry Nadler in between donut runs is still out to get his nemesis. Man, that hate runs deep, son, as the kids like to say. Jerry Nadler's still trying to pin something on Donald Trump. He's having another congressional hearing. It's like the 113th one. But I'm all over the place. Let's get back to Iran. I don't want to get into it because it's depressing. It's depressing. Either they know something we don't, and they want to pick a fight, or some guy's about to get beheaded with a flaming sword because he pushed the button a little too soon. So, again, the story from the Associated Press says thusly, Iran's Revolutionary Guard shot down a U.S. surveillance drone Thursday, which is today, in the Strait of Hormuz, marking the first time the Islamic Republic directly attacked the American military amid tensions over Tehran's unraveling nuclear deal with world powers. So, I've been hearing this whispered about, if only we'd have stayed in the nuclear deal, this would not have occurred. Well, you know what? You can trust the mullahs about as much or as far as you can throw them into a vat of bacon grease, which means not at all. Look, they were never going to keep to the agreement. They were never going to uphold their terms. Their desire, intent, mission in life, their only dream and fantasy is the destruction of the big Satan and the little Satan. And if and when they do get nuclear weapons, you will see how readily they will lob them at America and at Israel. These are the two nations that they deem to be the big Satan and the little Satan. So let's not kid ourselves. Let's not, you know, beat around the bush. Well, if we would have stayed with the Iran nuclear agreement, they would not have seen fit to, shoot down the surveillance drone. Yeah, they probably would have. So, the two countries disputed the circumstances leading up to an Iranian surface-to-air missile bringing down the U.S. Navy RQ-4A Global Hawk, an unmanned aircraft with a wingspan larger than a Boeing 737 jetliner and costing over $100 million. Now, a boss move would be to take $1 billion worth of oil from Iran as recompense for the $100 million drone and have them apologize. And of course, you know, summarily execute the guy who pushed the button, which they're probably going to do anyway if they don't want a war. Iran said the drone violated its territorial airspace while the U.S. called the missile fire an unprovoked attack in international airspace over the narrow mouth of the Persian Gulf, and President Donald Trump tweeted that Iran made a very big mistake. Trump later appeared to play down the incident, telling reporters in the Oval Office that he had a feeling that a general or somebody being loose and stupid made a mistake in shooting down the drone. I don't think that Donald Trump was playing it down. I think it was a brilliant move. He was trying to give the Iranians or the Iranians a way out to save face. Because if it turns out that this went all the way up the chain of command and it was approved by the mullahs themselves, then we've got real problems. It means that we are on war footing with Iran. Donald Trump gave them an out. Find a guy, blame him, and say it was an accident. Otherwise, we will have very big problems, you know. The incident immediately heightened the crisis already gripping the wider region, which is rooted in Trump withdrawing the U.S. a year ago from Iran's 2015 nuclear deal and imposing crippling new sanctions on Tehran. Yes, the sanctions are working. Iran's economy is in free fall. They're, I think it's like 37% inflation this year. So their oil isn't helping them. The sanctions are working. This is why it may have been a move born of desperation. I won't discount that. So we shall live and we shall see. Citing unspecified, let's go back up to the crippling new sanctions. Recently, Iran quadrupled its production of low-enriched uranium to be on pace to break one of the deal's terms by next week, while threatening to raise enrichment closer to weapons-grade levels on July 7th if Europe doesn't offer a new deal. Now, because everybody in Iran either is a terrorist or knows a terrorist, they very unlikely are unfamiliar with the old adage, we do not negotiate with terrorists. What they're doing is they're attempting to blackmail or otherwise hold hostage Europe and North America by saying, if you do not give us a new deal by July 7, we will raise enrichment. So, I understand that much of Europe and much of its leadership, save for the Hungarian president and a couple other smaller countries, are basically castrated sheep. The Iranians understand this as well. This is why they're making the play. To them, it's a gamble. If Europe folds and gives them a new deal, then they win something. If Europe doesn't fold and sort of draws a little backbone from America, then on July 7th, the Iranians can just come out and say, we were kidding. We had too much falafel. It was falafel day on Google. We were kidding. I am sorry. And that'll be the end of that. My concern is that knowing the mindset of the leaders of Europe, I wouldn't be half surprised if they didn't go behind the U.S.'s back and try to make a new deal with Iran themselves. And if that happens, then, you know, Donald Trump should basically slap the taste out of their mouth with sanctions or whatever else he wants. They deserve it. Because the European Union, by and large, and many of the major countries in Europe, okay, let me split a hair, if I may. Because although the people are beginning to see the dangers of Islam, because they've been infiltrated, because countries like Germany and France and Italy and Spain and Austria and all the developed countries are overrun with Islamists and, you know, women in burqas and, you know, dining establishment that serve goat medium rare. So, and they understand that it's a different culture. They understand that these people did not come there to try to acclimate. They didn't come there to try to blend in. They came in trying to dictate. They take over a part or a portion of a city, and then they have their own little fiefdom. They establish their own businesses. They do business internally. They badger, harass, and otherwise, you know, make feel uncomfortable all the other folks until they move out and they can get the properties cheap. And it's been happening like this for centuries. The Europeans apparently are too high on their own supply to understand what just happened to their continent. So I wouldn't put it past the Europeans to try to make a side deal with Iran that, you know, makes America out to be the bad guy because diplomacy works. You know, diplomacy works. That's all I have to say. It doesn't. Diplomacy works only if the two parties involved in diplomacy are of good faith. Mi scusi, as they would say in Italy, but the Iranian mullahs are not of good faith. If you're in good faith, of good faith, intending on diplomacy and doing the right thing and you know, not ramping up tensions to the point of hostilities, you don't threaten to blackmail the people you're attempting to be in good faith with. You don't give them a term limit and say, now, if you do not do what we want you to do, you have until the 7th of July. After that, I cannot help you. I'm so sorry. So, again, I'm hoping the Europeans are only half as dumb as I think they are. So, of course, General Hossein Salami, not to be concerned with confused with Oscar Mayer Salami, the Revolutionary Guard commander, said, we do not have any intention for war with any country, but we are fully ready for war. I remember back in the golden days when Iraq was our problem and Saddam Hussein was the chief evildoer, there was a guy by the name of Baghdad Bob. If you don't know who Baghdad Bob is, there may be video of him on YouTube. The man was hilarious because they were showing American tanks entering Baghdad. And Baghdad Bob was sweating profusely on Iraqi television, telling them how they had pushed back the Americans to the sea and beyond. It was hilarity. I think General Hossein Salami took his marks from Baghdad Bob, because that's the only way that I could interpret his words as credible. I'm sorry, Mr. Salami, you are not fully prepared for war with the United States of America. You may think you are, but, you know, blanket bombing 500 square miles will take the wind out of anyone's sails. So the paramilitary guard, which answers only to Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said it shot down the drone at 4:05 a.m. Thursday when it entered Iranian airspace near the Kumumbarak district in southern Iran's Hormozgan province. Kumumbarak is about 1,200 kilometers or 750 miles, for those of you that do not know the metric system, southeast of Tehran. The drone took off from the southern Persian Gulf and collected data from Iranian territory, including the southern port of Shakhbarara, near Iran's border with Pakistan. The guard said in comments that appeared aimed at showing it could track the aircraft. So somebody made a boo-boo. I do not know who it was that made the boo-boo. If it was the Khamenei and Supreme Commander Salami was just following orders, then we have a real issue. And I think a show of force is warranted, even if I do not see myself or consider myself to be war hawkish. I don't like war. Sometimes war is necessary. And as cold as this may sound, better on your soil than on our soil. It's as simple as that. Why? Because I got kids. And to me, a lot these days boils down to that one sentence. I've got kids. So yes, if I have to choose between blanket bombing Iran to show that no, they are not prepared for war, even though Supreme Commander Salami said they were, or having war on our soil, I choose theirs. Sorry, selfish, I know. So the article continues and it says, the U.S. military has not commented on the mission of the remotely piloted aircraft that can fly higher than 10 miles in altitude and stay in the air for over 24 hours at a time. Iran used its air defense system known as Third of Khordad, I don't know what that means, to shoot down the drone, et cetera, et cetera. So President Trump did come out with a statement and he offered them an olive branch. I am hoping that somebody in the Khamenei's inner circle is smart enough to recognize that it is an olive branch and take advantage of it. Name somebody, even if it's General Salami. I know. I would love to talk about Salami for the next few programs. I love Salami myself, not the general, but the meat stuff. But if he has to go in order to maintain peace, then it will prove to one and all that no, Iran is not ready for war. Now, another story that I saw that I thought was the peak of hilarity. And we don't have much time to cover it, but I'm going to get into it a little bit because I do want to talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Because, yes, she has proven that she is about 120 IQ points short of 130 IQ points. Climate emergency. Listen to this. This is what elected officials are doing on people's behalf. This is not a monarchy we're talking about. Ireland is not a monarchy. Ireland is a republic. Or a democracy, whichever. Climate emergency. Ireland set to ban private cars. You heard that right. Let that sink in. You thought Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her Green New Deal were far-fetched? Ireland just hopscotched right over her. They're paving the way, baby. Ireland set to ban private cars while planning mass third world migration. Because you can't have one without the other, apparently. So, drivers will be forced off the roads in Ireland and the population packed into higher density cities under a long-awaited climate plan which will revolutionize people's lifestyle and behaviors, according to local media. Congratulations, people of Ireland. You are now slaves to your government. If government can dictate whether or not you can own a car, and compel you to move into higher density cities so you can use public transport, then these officials are no longer elected. They're no longer working for the people. What this is, it is governmental tyranny. But it's a blueprint of how they will try to do the same thing here because they didn't outlaw anything. They just used nudge policy. So what is a nudge policy? Well, a nudge policy is ever-increasing taxes on certain things. See, because people still eat steak at 10 bucks a pound. If they put a $100 tax on steak for each pound, very few people would still eat steak at $110 a pound. And that's how you get rid of the cow farts. See? It's not outlawing anything. We're not, you know, it's just taxation. We'll call it a climate tax. And we're going to tax your cars and tax your cows. Pretty much tax anything, even air. If you collect rainwater, we're going to tax that too. And eventually there's going to be that snap where enough people are going to say, hold on a second. Who are you? Why are you dipping into my pocket every single day? Why are you limiting my choices by taxing my choices from me? Who are you? Oh, a bartender? Who got lucky to get elected to Congress and the first thing you did was cry that your salary wasn't big enough at 160 grand a year? What? You're demanding a pay raise and demanding that people don't drive their cars and demanding that they kill off their cows because of the farts? See, it has happened throughout history consistently. People get fed up with the ruling class. Then they behead the ruling class. Drivers will be forced off the roads in Ireland and the population packed into high-density cities under a long-awaited climate plan which will revolutionize people's lifestyles and behaviors, according to local media. Nudge policies, such as tax hikes, as well as bans and red tape outlined in the plan, will pave the way for a vibrant Ireland of zero carbon emissions by 2050, according to the government, which last year committed to boost the country's 4.7 million strong population by a further million with mass migration. In order to avert a climate apocalypse, the government plans to force people out of private cars because they're the biggest offenders of emissions. Now, I am a firm believer that anyone who gets elected into public office should be required to pass an IQ test. You can bring the emissions in Ireland to zero. If China and India won't go along with your plan, which they will never do because it's insane, your emissions for little old Ireland might be zero, but it's not going to change a thing. So it's not about the emissions in the end. It's about control. It's about corralling people. It's about telling people what to do and under the guise of saving the planet, getting enough people to comply. This is beyond malicious. So, they're trying to avert a climate apocalypse, Now, isn't it surprising that every contender for the office of president on the Democratic ticket have been using much the same lingo, and they've even given us a time frame? In case you didn't know, we've got 12 years. That is according to scientist and Rhodes Scholar Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She said, we have 12 years before everything is doomed, before all is lost. And so we should get to killing those cows and stop driving our cars and shut down our factories and stop producing toilet paper and basically go back to medieval times. Now, I don't know about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but you know what? I get the feeling that I'll do okay in a medieval-style era. I grew up in Romania. I had to go to an outhouse in 30 below in the middle of the night for the first 9 years of my life. I'm going to do okay. Okay? So, this is the plan in Dublin by leader Leo Varadkar, who apparently hates Ireland and all its peoples, outlined his vision for an island of higher density cities consisting of populations whose lifestyles and behaviors have been totally transformed by carrot and stick policies outlined in the climate plan. Wow. And nobody's tried to set this man on fire in Ireland yet. Nobody's called for his resignation. Nobody's protested. You're basically calling your citizens donkeys. And you assume that you can use the method of carrot and stick to make them do what you want them to do. Our approach will be to nudge people and businesses to change behavior and adapt new technologies through incentives, disincentives, regulations, and information, the globalist prime minister said. And if Hillary Clinton were president, you'd hear much the same rhetoric from her today. Guaranteed. We're going to change how electricity is produced and consumed, how our homes and workplaces are heated, the way we travel, the types of vehicles we purchase, and how food is produced. That is a delusional man with a dystopian vision. And I've said this before in different contexts, but delusional people who have dystopian visions don't care how many eggs they have to break in order to make the omelet. Let that sink in. Ireland, I'm sorry for ya. Irish people, if you can leave, do it now. But hey, don't worry, your home won't be empty. A migrant will come and squat in it for sure. And with that, I guess we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us. See, if it's sunny outside, I get a little happy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. We will be with you again next week, whether live or recorded a couple hours before live, because, you know, time and all. But once again, thank you for joining us. Keep us in your prayers. Tell somebody about this program, you know, something. Anyway, Gino, it's all yours if you've got anything to say. God bless you. See you guys next week.
Thank you, Mike. Well, I just want to say that last night we were in Madison, Wisconsin. We were simply holding a prayer rally because of the gay pride flag being flown there. And did not know that there'd be a county rally, a counter rally of about 200 militant homosexuals. And we spent 2 hours sharing the Lord. For sure, they tried to get in our face and try to cause violence, which did not happen. And we had 2 hours of people from around our state praying, preaching, walking around the Capitol. It was an eye-opening experience. But we are in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah because I witnessed it firsthand. And Madison is a small, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're very militant. They do want to push their agenda on every level. And if we don't stand against it, then, as Mike said, the vital organs are going to be totally encroached on. And the church, again, needs to be very aware that we need to be proactive, not only politically, but prayerfully. We have to stand in the gap, and we have to be strong. And so keep us in prayer. We probably will do some more prayer rallies around our state and call people to stand for what they stand for, and stand for the truth. God bless you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, You can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are